We're here on purpose. We're here on purpose, not by accident. I'm talking about not just us being here at this church service, but here on the earth, we are here on purpose. Your hands made me and shaped me, says Job, chapter 10, verse 8. To find meaning in life, we have to find God's purposes. And that's what we've been talking about all this time. It's imperative that we find God's purposes. Now, Elvis Presley, in spite of his great renown, and he was very popular and had enormous success, was, according to his friends, a very unhappy and unfulfilled man. He died of obesity and of a drug overdose, drug dependency, at the age of 42. And in an interview, his wife Priscilla said this: Elvis never came to terms with who he was meant to be or what his purpose in life was. He thought he was here for a reason, maybe to preach, maybe to serve, maybe to save, maybe to care for people. That agonizing desire always was with him, and he knew he wasn't fulfilling it. So he'd go on stage and he wouldn't have to think about it. Now, Elvis didn't find that meaning. He didn't find that one thing that gives joy and peace, which is fulfilling his purpose in life. The scripture that this passage or this topic is taken from is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, just a verse. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. That's a pretty simple statement about our lives, about what we're really here for. And this brings us to the fourth purpose God has for our lives, which is ministry. We are shaped for serving God. Now, Rick Warren, in his book, I don't know if it's in his book or where he has this, but he talks about this word shape as S-H-A-P-E. The F is for, I got it written down here, is for spiritual gifts. He shapes us through spiritual gifts. He shapes our H heart. He gives us A abilities. He helps to form our P personality. And then he gives us E experiences. He shapes us so that all these things together, all through all these avenues, God is shaping, or he's forming us to serve him by serving others. He's shaping us to serve him by serving others. And that's the purpose of ministry. It says in 1 Peter, each one should use whatever gift he's received to serve others. And really, our life is a gift. And all the experiences, our own heart, our genetics, everything that we've received is from God as a gift so that we can serve others. Use your gifts to serve others. So last week we looked at discipleship, and that was the idea that we are being created to be like Christ. This area of ministry, being shaped to serve others, is an extension of being like Christ. It's an extension of that other purpose of being formed to be like Christ. And so ministry is an extension of that purpose. Jesus said when he was talking in Matthew 20, your attitude must be like my own. This is from the Living Bible. You can't recognize the translation. Your attitude must be like my own. For I did not come to be served, but to serve. And that's the attitude that we are to have as we follow Christ. So this fits right into the discipleship of last week. So how do we learn how to serve like Christ? Well, first of all, we serve like Jesus served when we are available, being available. Being available to serve. What was Jesus' attitude? His attitude was that of a scriptural attitude. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 28, in the Good News Bible, it says, never tell your neighbors to wait until tomorrow if you can help them now. That's a good proverb. Never procrastinate. If the person needs help now, and you say, well, maybe I can get to it tomorrow, but you have the opportunity to do it now. Do it now. That's what it's saying, not to procrastinate, not to put it off, to be available. That's Jesus' attitude. Now, just in one of the stories he exemplified, that was the two blind men that were crying out to him. And here's what, as they shouted, it says in Matthew 20, they shouted, Lord, have mercy on us. Jesus stopped and called them. "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. Now, that was Jesus' response to their cry for help. What keeps us from being available? When we are not available to help other people, what is it that keeps us? Well, there's some barriers. There's several barriers, but at least three of them here. The first barrier might be this one: self-centeredness. We have things that we've got to do first, and then we'll take care of other people's things. Well, what did Jesus do when he was called? It says in the verse he stopped. You know, sometimes we have to stop what we're doing. We have to stop what we've gotten into, and we have to let the other person's needs come before ours, putting others ahead of ourselves. That's a hard thing to do, and it comes right up against the self-centered sign. You know, do not disturb sign is on our lives sometimes. We put a do not disturb. Well, Jesus never had do not disturb on his life. Sometimes he tried to get away, but when the people came to him, he went ahead and served them. Even though he tried to get away to have some prayer time by himself, he had to serve their needs. It says in Philippians, in the Message translation, "Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand." We've got to stop what we're doing and forget ourselves a little bit and start looking out for others. That's self-centeredness we've got to come up against. Then the second barrier, perfectionism. Now, none of us are perfect, but God uses imperfect and unskilled, we say, maybe some even immature or handicapped people. We say, how does God do that? Well, he does it by his grace. And you know what? Even the people who have all kinds of skills and are charismatic and can do all kinds of things and have all kinds of abilities to do like jack of all trades, they were given those things from God. And they could, if they wanted to, just set them aside and not use them. But God wants us to use everything we have, every ability we have. It all comes from God. And Ecclesiastes in the New Living Translation says this in 11:4. If you wait for perfect conditions, you'll never get anything done. That's a good proverb. If you wait for perfect conditions, you'll never get everything done. You know, when we were singing this, we must wait, we must wait, we must wait on the Lord and learn my lessons well. That's true. God wants us to learn our lessons well. But he doesn't want us to wait until we've learned all the lessons and then begin to start serving. He wants us to wait, and then when he calls us, even when we don't feel prepared, we've got to respond. I sort of was lagging behind on the Lord this week, and I meant to mention this for prayer. And I sort of want this to be put on the prayer chain. Alda's not here, and Betty's not here. Who's on the prayer chain? Okay, Betty, could you call on this one, okay? I can't say this lady's name because it's patient confidentiality, but I'm going to say the case, okay? She had a child at 27 weeks through C-section. Usually they don't do that, but she has cancer of the lungs and they couldn't treat it until the baby was born. And they felt like the baby needed to go or she was going to die, and they would both die. So they took the baby. And she's on oxygen. She's not on a ventilator right now, but she's on oxygen and having a hard time. And the Lord told me to pray for her as I was going out the door, but I didn't even know the woman, and I didn't know how to find her. So, obediently, for 3 days, the Lord is on my heart. So, I went back to the hospital, actually 2 days, went back to the hospital and found out where she was at, went to visit her, and told her that I really wanted to pray for her, that she would be healed. Now, that's what the Lord wanted me to pray. That's a toughie. I don't feel prepared to pray that. I don't even know this woman. She doesn't know me. I didn't take care of her in the OB unit, although I could have taken care of her. It could have been it could have fallen to me to take care of her. But I needed to obey the Lord. Now, the Lord may have a surprise for us, and she may be healed. That would be so wonderful. So put her on the prayer chain. I don't know her. I can't give you her name, you know. I don't know her first name, so I can't give you her last name either. But anyway, we may not seem to be ready, but if we wait for perfect conditions, like, oh, this is not the time, you'll never get anything done. And sometimes you have to, when the Lord says to do something and you get the conviction on your heart, and you'll know what it is, because it feels like you just got your hand in the cookie jar and you know you shouldn't have got that and you sort of feel bad about it. Well, if you don't do it immediately, you start feeling bad about it. Just like that. It's conviction. Okay. Well, anyway, the third barrier, let's get off that one for a second. The third barrier is materialism. And You know, it says, Jesus told us, no servant can serve two masters. He cannot serve God and money. There's a cannot be. It's not that he maybe he might not be able to. No, he cannot. It's an impossibility. Money stands for what we can get in possessions or services received. You know, that's what money stands for. And if we are thinking about possessions only or services that we can have rendered to us, and it's coming in our direction, then we have been caught up in materialism. Things of this life that really, in 100 years, won't matter at all, really. So we need to be very careful how we handle possessions and how we handle the services that are that we pay for. Because God wants us to serve, put Him first, and put those in an area where we are just stewards of those things, and sometimes recipients of those things. But how did Jesus say this from a position of an exemplary position? See, He is our example in all of these things. How did He say this? Well, think about it a minute. What is the incarnation? I mean, we know what it's like to be in fleshly bodies and have the problems of splinters in the fingers and things like that with Jesus and hammers on the nails. Ouch! Not that kind of nail, but these nails, where it really swells up underneath and you have to get something to pop it, or really, really painful. Well, Jesus went through that. He came into the flesh. He came into a poor family. But what did He leave? He left the glories of heaven to do that. So He was teaching by example. From His own life, He was showing you how to live this non-materialistic life. And it says in Philippians, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider the equality with God something to be grasped, in other words, held on to, but made Himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Christ's incarnation is probably the ultimate demonstration of availability. He's made Himself available to us by becoming one of us. That is the ultimate in availability of God. And He's still doing that through us. As we make ourselves available, Jesus can work through us to make Himself available to other people. And He wants to do that. He wants to be available, but we have a will. And we need to say, okay, I give in. I will be available. Another area that we can be like Christ in serving others is being grateful. Now, how does this gratitude thing in? Well, fit in here. Gratitude is everything, someone has said. And Jesus showed the attitude of gratitude in serving others. When He was raising Lazarus from the dead, listen to what He said. Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank You. That's how He started His prayer. Father, I thank You that You have heard me. I knew that You always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here. And you know, when we serve other people, we have to have an attitude of gratitude. It is not a drudgery. It cannot be a drudgery. Now, it is a divine imperative to have this attitude of gratitude. Serve the Lord, right? With gladness, it says in Psalms, in the King James Version, Psalm 100. Serve the Lord with gladness, with gratitude, with happiness and joy. And why is this so essential? Because any way that we can serve the Lord, any of those experiences, our heart, anything that we received, spiritual gifts, they are all from God. We're not deserving to be able to serve the Lord. God has equipped us and allowed us to be His servants. And so it has to be with an attitude of gratitude that we serve other people. It is He who saved us and chose us for His holy work, not because we deserved it, but because it was His plan. It was His plan. So it's God. Remember how Rick Warren started out, how the book starts out in the 40 days. It starts out, it's not all about me. It's all about God, isn't it? It's all about Him, and so it's an attitude of gratitude. What keeps us from being grateful? What are some barriers to that? Well, in this area of service, some of the areas that keep us from being grateful is when we start comparing or we criticize. You know, when several children are given chores to do, sometimes this can be in a home where there are a lot of children, I know about this, or it can be in a, like a kindergarten class or something like that. The children sometimes start complaining. He's got a better job than I have. Or, why can't I do that? Or they say, he's not doing his work. He's not cleaning up. He's not helping. And you know something? Those things all may be true. But the attitude of criticism and comparing is childish. And kingdom building work is teamwork. And that's what ministry is all about. That's what service is all about. The word ministry means to serve, to be a servant. And so it's all about teamwork. And we cannot be childish and have an attitude of comparing and criticizing. Listen to Romans 14 in the God's Word translation. Who are you to criticize someone else's servant? Ooh, that's heavy. The Lord will determine whether his servant has been successful. Who are you to criticize? And that really is like God's putting up a stop sign right there and saying, no, you serve. You know, Peter tried that on the Lord. Peter said, well, what about John? He says, if I want to keep him around until I come again, what's that to you? Go serve me. And that's the attitude we have to have. It's up to us, between us and the Lord, not other people. I mean, we have to have an attitude of gratitude. And then the second barrier to gratitude is a wrong motivation. Maybe some people would think that Jesus was showing off. Really, he wasn't. He was not showing off by doing any miracles. In fact, a lot of times he was trying to avoid doing miracles because he knew it'd draw a large crowd. And he just wanted to talk to people who were really interested. Not interested in miracles, but interested in his word. He demonstrated the power of the word through the miracles. And that's an important thing. But he didn't show off. And Jesus doesn't want us to have that as our attitude. He wanted to do everything he did to please his Father. And that's the attitude of gratitude. We want to be able to please our Heavenly Father in the things that we do. And Jesus said, when you do your good deeds, don't try to show off. If you do, you won't get a reward from your Father in heaven. Now, we overcome these attitudes, these barriers to gratitude by yielding to the Holy Spirit. You see, Jesus did all of this, but he wants to continue to do it. He wants to thank his Father through us. He has this attitude of gratitude. I bet you, when we get to heaven and we can see the interaction of the Holy Spirit and the Father and the Son together, we're going to say, aren't they a grateful group? They just are so honoring of each other. They just are so blessed together. And that's the way it should be. And as we talked about the body of Christ, that's how the body of Christ should be. We're in the image. We're in the image of the Trinitarian God. And then finally, serving like Jesus means being faithful. Being faithful. Jesus never gave up. He never quit. Here's what his words to the Father in his prayer to the Father. This is the real Lord's Prayer in John 17 where he was praying to his Heavenly Father. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. I've completed the work you gave me to do. That should be, when we are nearing our time to leave, that should be the ability to pray that. Lord, I've completed the work you gave me to do. Because we were servants. We served the Lord by serving others. Well, Jesus called himself servant. And he met the requirements. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. The one thing required of servants is that they are faithful. Jesus was faithful. And he wants us to be those kind of servants. Faithful servants. What motivates faithfulness? What are the things that motivate faithfulness? First of all, knowing that our service for Christ is never a waste of time. Never a waste of time. I like that thing because the opposite is this. The waste of life is in love not given, powers not used. Selfish prudence that risks nothing and which shirking pain misses happiness as well. But serving Christ by serving others is never, ever a waste of time. In 1 Corinthians 15, it says, always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Not in vain. None of the things that we do When we are serving the Lord, none of the things that we do, and you know, some of the things that we do are just normal things. We're faithful in our normal daily lives. Just simple things that we just do as our duty. There's a story about an usher in an evangelistic meeting. Two young men came in, and there were no seats they could find. And these two teenagers were about to leave and turn out and go. And the usher grabbed and says, "No, let me find you seats." And he found them seats, and they sat down, and both those young men got saved that night. And one of those young men was Billy Graham. What if he had left? We don't know. But that usher, we don't even know his name, but that usher, you know, I'm sure he's gone on to be with the Lord now. And he's getting part of the benefits of Billy Graham's ministry as part of his reward. Just did the simple thing that he was always supposed to do. Just passed out the bulletins, Harvey. And maybe the person saw that bulletin, and because they saw that bulletin and read this thing, they said, "Wow, I do need to get saved. I need to be a Christian." Well, the little thing, just the little things. Being faithful. And another way that motivates faithfulness is knowing that God keeps track of our service. I mean, nothing is lost. Everything is known, even the conversations that we have. But listen to this in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. "He will not forget your hard labor, the way that you have worked for Him, how you have shown your love to Him by caring for other Christians." You know, we need to care for each other. We need to show brotherly love. This is how the world knows that we are Christians and we are following Jesus. And finally, the other motivation is that our future service in heaven throughout eternity is based upon the kind of service we did down here. Now, you know, we say, we've had a long life, but you know, this is real short compared to eternity. And so we only have a very, very short time to learn how to serve throughout eternity and find the location and the spot that we're going to be serving in throughout eternity. It says, when Jesus is talking about the sheep and goats judgment, or talking about judgment, he says, those that come into heaven, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." So I've talked about this thing of serving others and finding your purpose as the happiness that we have in life. But that's this life's happiness. There's going to be a greater, magnificent happiness in heaven when we can enter into the full service. We're only doing part-time service down here. But when we enter into eternity with the Lord in heaven, it will be full service for the Lord throughout eternity. Our whole rest of our eternal lives will be in the service of our Lord. That one scripture that I tried to point out to people about what do we do in heaven? Play harps? Well, if that's your form of service. And I'd like to learn it, by the way. David had a harp. I'd like to learn the harp. But it says a verse in Revelation, the last chapter, second to the last, says, "And his servants will serve him." That's it. And his servants will serve him. In the myriad ways that service can happen, his servants will serve him. "Well done, good and faithful servant." That's the hope that I have of hearing the Lord say that about my life. And that's the hope I have about all of you. That over every one of you, the Lord will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have served by serving others." The only Grammy Award that Elvis won, out of all his popularity, had, 250 million copies of his records sold, you know. But he only had one Grammy Award, and it was for a religious album called "That He Touched Me." And a song that expresses this hope about "Well done." He had that song on there, even though he probably didn't fulfill it in his life. Maybe it was just a hope and a desire, but he never fulfilled it. "After the lightning and thunder, after the last bell has rung, I want to bow down before Jesus and hear him say, 'Well done, my son. He is my reason for living. He is my King of Kings. I long to be in his possession. He is my everything.'" God is shaping us to serve him by serving others. That's what he is shaping us for. That's why we come to church. That's why we read our Bibles. That's why we memorize Scripture. That's why we pray. And we pray for others so that God can shape us and make us more like Jesus so that we will serve others. We just can't sing about it. as Elvis did here. We've got to do it. And we can do it because he has given us the Holy Spirit so that Jesus can set up residence in our heart to continue this ministry of serving others through us. Let's pray. Father God, thank you that you have given us this this message from your word about serving, about ministry, about helping other people. And Lord, we ask that we will be available, that we will be grateful in our service, that we will be faithful in serving. And we ask, Lord, that if anyone has not yet come to the knowledge of Christ in the hearing of this sermon, I pray, Lord, that this might be the day they say that simple prayer, Lord Jesus Christ, come into my heart and be my Savior and Lord. Help me to serve you the rest of my days. Lord, I pray that we will all be your servants, everyone in this church. And that on that day, Lord, that we will all face you, you'll look at us and say to all of us, well done, good and faithful servants. Enter into your master's happiness. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.